Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to BOLLandBranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
UK Tech Weekly Podcast.
My UK Tech Weekly Podcast brings all the boys to the yard, and they're like, it's better than yours. Damn right it's better than yours. And that's because it is yours. Your favourite podcast coming at you every Friday like a breeze block of audio pain. This is the UK Tech Weekly Podcast, a weekly infotainment pill from the editors of PC Advisor, Techworld, Macworld UK and Computerworld UK. Every 7 days, we get the drinks in at a down-at-heel audio boozer, throwing audio darts at an audio dartboard in order to bring you no more than 40 minutes of informed tech chat on the hot tech topics of the past 7 days. You can hear us thanks to our sponsor, Audio Technica, and find us on iTunes and SoundCloud. Don't forget to subscribe, review, and tell your friends. Do it right now, listener. I'm Matt Egan, Editorial Director of IDG UK, and today I am delighted to be joined in conversation by the absolutely tip-top Chris Martin, Consumer Tech Editor of PC Advisor.
Big up.
The hip-hop don't stop Scott Carey, Online Editor of TechWorld.com.
Sup.
And the decrepit backstreet chip shop that is David Price, Acting Editor of Macworld UK.
Thank you very much.
This week, we are talking about Apple's doom, Facebook's boom, and the way that games consoles are shaking up the front room. Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads. David Price. Money talks, money talks. Dirty cash, I want you. Dirty cash, I need you more. David, Apple is doomed. Discuss.
Apple is not doomed. I'm not having that at all. Apple is fine, I think. Well, I'm not sure I'm willing to stand by that, actually. I've changed my mind already. But they're not doomed. They are just having what Tim Cook calls a challenging but busy quarter.
So we had the financial results this week, yeah?
Yes, exactly. And it's the first time in 13 years that Apple has reported a decline year on year in quarterly revenue.
Okay, which, so that's not losing money, it's making less money.
No, exactly. It's still making huge, obscene amounts of money.
Over $10 billion in revenues, would that be right?
Well over. It's made $50.6 billion.
That's more than
quarter.
$10 billion.
So considerably more. But that compares to $58 billion in the same quarter last year.
Sure.
And this is, it's the sort of thing where people look at the graph and they're wondering, where's it going from here? They're still doing amazingly well, clearly, which is why I don't think they're doomed. But they wonder about the direction. Maybe they passed the peak. Maybe they're on the way downwards now. And it could be a long drawn out decline.
Long drawn out profitable decline. Like IBM or something, you know.
Well, exactly. As I said, I think they're doing okay. There's a lot of excuses we could go into.
So what is the... because I'm reading reports of decline in sales of major product lines. So yeah. What's the reality?
Across the board.
Right.
Basically, everything significant is down between sort of 10 and 20%
right.
on the same quarter last year, which is not good reading. iPhone sales are down. iPad sales are down. Again, they always are. Mac sales are slightly down. The only areas where Apple is growing is its two smallest categories, which it calls other products, which includes the Apple Watch. That's up 29% on last year. It's not the Apple Watch is up 29%, but the
right,
other products
category.
Because
there's some controversy about that, because they won't say sales of the Apple Watch.
Yeah, they're a bit weird about that. They haven't said how many it sold. Unofficially, it is believed that they've sold between 12 and 13 million units of the Apple Watch across the first year. That's not in a quarter. Which isn't huge. That's going to be contributing $1.5 billion per quarter. And it is good for a first year of a product.
New category of products as well.
Yeah, exactly.
It outsold all of the Android Wear watches put together, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's completely dominated the category. And I would say again, that 12 to 13 million units, if that's right,
sounds quite healthy, actually.
That's more than double what the iPhone did in its first year. So.
And it's a first-gen product.
Exactly.
What's in the rest of that category of other products?
iPods, things like that.
That's nice.
The accessories, stuff like that.
That's
and
sweet.
Ice, maybe.
There was another category you said, sorry, I interrupted you.
Yes, and the other one is services. And services is the one that they're talking about a lot, which includes the App Store and Apple Music, Apple Pay, things like that.
Sure.
And that is up 20%, and that's contributing $6 billion to the revenue, which is monkey peanuts compared to the iPhone, which is even with its decline, is still contributing $33 billion.
The thing with services is they're always hugely profitable.
Yeah,
because you don't have to make a physical thing.
Exactly.
Surely Apple Music is not contributing a lot to that services package.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't use Apple Music, I'll be honest, but I don't use Spotify either. I think it's getting quite a lot of share. But I always find it a bit sort of like voodoo the way they make money from streaming services, because you always try and do the numbers on Spotify figures and you think, where is that actually?
Well, Spotify famously doesn't.
They basically don't make money, do they?
Yeah.
So presumably even if Apple Music is doing well, it can't be making a lot. You must be right there.
Yeah, you think so.
Yeah.
So then, I mean, so as always happens with any kind of Apple results. And by the way, the question I meant to ask, with the iPhone, does that include any iPhone SE sales?
No.
It's significant as well, I would say.
Yeah, so this is the quarter ended 26th of March, and the iPhone SE was launched on the 31st of March. And Tim Cook did actually say that, and he wouldn't give, again, specific numbers, but he said that early demand for the iPhone SE has outstripped supply.
Yeah.
Well, that's the sort of thing people always say.
Yeah.
But anecdotally, I get the impression it's a very popular product, and we expected it to be popular because it's a sort of belated update to what I believe is a still popular line of product, which is the small iPhone.
And also, there will be some people who will have waited for the launch of it who wouldn't have bought an iPhone who might otherwise have bought an iPhone.
Exactly. There's a whole thing about upgrade cycles affecting these numbers. Which is, you've got the small iPhones were not updated for 2.5 years.
Yeah.
And they finally have been just after the results are published. So I would hope there might be some rays of sunshine from that in the next few quarters. And also Apple does this thing where 1 year it does, it brings out the iPhone 6, whatever, you know, a full number upgrade. Which is large, has a bigger screen, or has a physical redesign, and then the next year it does an S class, which is less of a, supposed to be anyway, less
like
of
the
an
Intel TikTok.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's literally what I was going to say.
Exactly, the TikTok
jinx.
So those two things together would mean that you wouldn't expect a lot of people to upgrade to the,
which probably wouldn't have a hugely significant impact overall, but will have a slight dampening effect.
Yeah, I think so. And last year was an outlier anyway. It was.
Because it was so successful.
It was a very successful product. There were some issues with delays in manufacturing, which meant that some Q1 sales of the 6S were pushed back into Q2.
Right.
And they just opened up a lot of channels in China, so they were selling a lot there. And this time around, China hasn't been so good for Apple, which they're saying is a lot to do with the strength of the Hong Kong dollar, which means that Hong Kong is having issues with shopping and tourism because everything has got more expensive there, that they're importing from other countries.
Is this typically Apple's not-so-good quarter?
Yeah.
So it's seasonal anyway.
Yeah, but we only ever compare it to the equivalent one last year.
So I suppose the interesting thing is this idea of declining sales in all major product lines. Or is it declining sales or declining growth of sales? Because they're all new sales, so it's declining sales, but it still represents new business every time you sell a product, I guess.
So
I suppose the point I'm trying to get at is it inevitable after a while, as tech becomes more long lasting for a start. I mean, you could have an iPhone that you bought 4 years ago that's still working fine, probably.
Yeah.
Well, there was that scene. And then is there saturation, do we think, maybe to an extent?
Well, yeah, you would have to assume that most people that want an iPhone have got an iPhone. So they are now at the point of persuading people that the iPhone they bought 2 years ago isn't good enough, which is sort of a counterintuitive way of working. Because at the time you said it was the best iPhone ever.
Well, it is. It's amazing that whole everybody upgrading their phones every one or two years thing has taken hold and is certainly in affluent countries, certainly in the more affluent people in affluent countries, is kind of a normal thing to be on an upgrade cycle.
It's not a good thing, I have to say.
What's happening is it's getting harder and harder for them to persuade people to upgrade because there isn't new tech that's dramatically better in the next model to make people want to. Because, like we've said in various podcasts, smartphone technology is peaking or has peaked.
Yeah, it's good enough, isn't it?
So there is obviously a lot of speculation over the iPhone 7. Oh, it's not going to be very good. Mm. It's not going to be a big jump because there isn't that much you can do
to it.
To
jump in,
we've basically perfected the phone.
Yeah. So it's probably quite hard to say, but did this sort of thing ever sort of happen under Jobs? It probably happened too fast, didn't it, where it went iPod, iPhone, iPad all really quickly and there was no time for one to particularly stagnate like this. But typically, I guess this is where Apple would bring out a blockbuster product that would buoy the whole company.
Well, it would in Jobs 2.0.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
first time around,
they've been called doomed many times.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what I'm saying,
Apple was, to all intents and purposes, doomed, and that's why Jobs was brought back, because the company was, you know, it had nothing left to lose, essentially. So it brought back the maverick founder to have a burn at fixing things, and he did that extremely successfully. And that's one of the questions I was going to ask to everybody, really, is there an analogy with a previous company, because I'm not sure there is, because I think Apple is unprecedented in its success, certainly as a hardware manufacturer. Mm. It is the most profitable company in history. So where things go from now with the sort of speed of hardware upgrades slowing a lot is really fascinating. Mm. I think you did this, David. You put a poll on the Macworld UK site asking Macworld readers, who are in principle at least pro Apple, where they saw the future. And it makes for interesting reading, I think, mainly because the results are so split. 20% of respondents said the future is a big, exciting launch to get things back on track, which is kind of what you were saying there, Scott. But then 31% said steady progress and a return to growth, and 30% said flat revenues but nothing disastrous. So that's nearly two-thirds of respondents basically saying it's kind of all right. The company's making money, but don't expect a massive change. And 19% said this is the beginning of the end, which, you know, who knows? But I personally feel is absolutely not the case.
No.
You've got a hugely successful company that still makes hugely successful products, but possibly has reached the peak of its success certainly in maybe the UK and the US.
Hitting the apex is not the end of the world, is it? Especially when you look at these figures. It's just it makes headlines to say they're doomed, but actually they're still making fistfuls of cash from these products.
Yeah. I think you're going to be talking about Facebook revenues later.
Yeah, right? I am, yeah.
So I don't want to tread on your toes too much, but I believe that the numbers you're going to be talking about, despite them being, you know, blockbuster smash figures, are considerably lower.
It's embarrassing,
like
sort of
5 billion or something.
I'm about to bang on about a figure which is going to be a fifth of Apple's service revenue. So that puts that in perspective.
So that's why all the headlines about the negative headlines are really annoying to me.
Yeah.
It's like, how many companies that rival Apple would trade places with them in at the drop
of
a hat
single one,
to have those kind of figures?
Yeah. The reason why it happens and the reason why it matters is the sort of unique nature of shareholding in tech, and specifically US shareholding in tech. So you get a company like Amazon whose stock price has gone up and down over the years, but has always been a buy stock, or generally speaking, always been a buy stock. actually very rarely made a profit in its history. Mm. And the fact is that Apple is a hugely expensive stock because it's such a successful company. But if you're a stockholder, you saw whatever it was, 10% wipes off the share price the other day. Yeah. It, in terms of a business, it is meaningless. But if you're a shareholder, then it makes it.
Fair enough, yeah.
But so, then, okay, so let's move on to the Facebook story in 1 second. But let's just quickly go around the room. How do you like them apples? Mum's apple pie or rotten to the core? Chris.
Mum's apple pie.
David Price.
I think Mum's apple pie is not as tasty as it once was.
Oof.
But it is still Mum's apple
pie. Your Mum's apple pie.
I hope
pie
she's not listening.
Not quite as sweet.
Maybe somebody gave her bad apples to put in it. It's not her fault. I'll never blame my mum for her apple pie. Anyway, it's fine.
Let's leave your mum out of this. Scott Carey, Mum's apple pie or rotten to the core?
McDonald's apple pie?
I like them.
Really? It's like eating the inside of the sun.
Just have to be patient, Matt.
Okay, good. Right, we'll take a short break, having fully discussed and come up with an answer to that question. And when we get back, we will be talking Facebook. Scott Carey. Money! It's a crime. Share it fairly, but don't take a slice of my pie. Scott, Facebook is set to rule us all. Explain.
Firstly, did you Google songs with the word money in the title this morning?
I had a prediction before we started. I thought it was going to be Pink Floyd, but
I might have.
I was wrong.
I wanted to put Pink Floyd first, but I thought I didn't know what the demographic was, so I went for the more recent 80s.
Also, awkward time signature to try and do in a podcast with no backing.
And key, took it on. As I think I just demonstrated. Anyway, Facebook.
Yeah, Facebook. As I was saying a second ago, they have announced their quarterly results for Q1, and their profits are up to $1.51 billion, which is triple what it was this time last year.
You'd take it, right? I mean, it's good profit.
You'd take it. I mean, as I said earlier, it is it's less than a fifth of what Apple makes out of its services, which includes Apple Music, which is embarrassing. But other than that, it's very strong. It's 2% up on what the street assumed it was going to be. Operating income is 11% up on the street. So it's all very, very positive. And it's mostly driven by ad revenue, and in particular, mobile ad revenue, which they are absolutely dominating.
Sure.
Their ad revenue was $5.2 billion for the quarter, which is up 75%. It is 75% of all of their ad revenue.
Did you say his estimates on the street?
Yes.
Like the man on the street?
Wall Street.
I thought you meant Huggy Bear. So, I mean, this is by any measure a really impressive performance, isn't it? Revenue's up 50% in the quarter overall, I think. They're saying now 1.65 billion users who spend on average more than 50 minutes a day. Yeah. Although, interestingly, it's all these the Facebook group, aren't they? So it's Facebook, Instagram and Messenger.
Yeah. The users thing is very interesting, because I do remember about a year ago when everyone was saying, or maybe it was a couple of years ago, that Facebook was doomed. It was becoming saturated. People were becoming tired of it. The kids were all leaving. It's up 15% to 1.6 billion, which is the fastest growth they've seen in active users. Monthly active users is the metric they use in 2 years. So it definitely is, it remains relevant, and it seems to be growing all the time, possibly in markets where mobile web is growing as well.
Well, that's a really interesting thing. I mean, there's a couple of things I think here. We were talking about shareholder revenue just before, and I remember when Facebook went for its IPO, there were lots of naysayers because there was no profit in Facebook, but the whole point was potential profit, because this is an organization to which billions of people give its data, and advertising these days depends entirely on data. So from a shareholder point of view, this is really interesting, because all of a sudden the company that was valuable because of what it might potentially do is starting to achieve that potential.
Yeah, and you look at the other sort of social network, Twitter, who is really struggling. Their results are very poor at the moment, and they're really struggling to capture that ad revenue. What Facebook seems to have done since 2013 is really dominate that mobile ad space.
Yeah.
And they are now starting to reap the benefits. They are, $5.2 billion is a huge amount for a quarter in that space.
It's done a couple of things as well, which which make Twitter look quite unfavourable by comparison. It's mobile and it's video, and in both cases, Facebook's very quickly ramped up into this space as a serious player in the app.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Advertising market. And it's done so by dealing with the innovator's dilemma. It's murdered its darlings. And one of the problems that Twitter's got, I think, is that Twitter is slightly beholden to its hardcore users who love it but don't like any change that happens. Whereas if you think about how constantly Facebook's interface changes and they add new features or they add new products, actually, and you do occasionally get this kind of negative feedback from the existing user base, but it's breaking things that work in order to strategically move to the things that are important. Video, fascinating. Facebook was nowhere in video. It literally had no video 2 years ago, and now after YouTube, by a mile, it's the next biggest video advertising medium.
Yeah, and I think it's closing the gap really
yeah,
fast.
Yeah, really quickly, yeah. Because why would you go to YouTube if you could share something on Facebook that everybody's going to see anyway?
Yeah. I think the interesting thing also is that the contribution from Instagram here.
Yeah.
Because Instagram is now an advertising platform as well since Facebook bought it. I remember when Facebook bought Instagram for $1 billion, there were a lot of raised eyebrows. Again, it was another platform that didn't have any sort of monetization. But according to a lot of the figures I'm seeing, and these aren't official because Facebook don't segment their mobile ad revenue, but it looks like Instagram's contributing around $700 million to that $5.2 billion figure already, which is not chump change considering they only started advertising about a year ago.
Well, and they obviously paid $1 billion for it.
Yeah, and it's a mobile-only platform, so all of their ad revenue is mobile ad revenue. So, I mean, if it keeps going at that rate, that $1 billion valuation, I mean, they're going to surpass it fivefold within the next couple of years.
Amazing performance. How does everybody feel about Facebook taking over the world in this way?
I generally don't like Facebook to use. I respect it as a business. I think it's interesting what you were saying earlier about Apple having no sort of precedent, and Facebook is very much like that in terms of social networks. Is we got used to this cycle of MySpace and Friends Reunited and all those other ones, which are now the punchlines of jokes.
Bebo.
And Facebook just kept evolving.
Yeah.
And we, you know, you have other ones like Twitter that have come after it. And again, they are not evolving in the same way.
I think that's the fascinating thing about Facebook is that every time it sort of feels like it's making a misstep, they acquire something or they develop the core product. Mm. And it seems to. And there isn't a precedent apart from Google, actually, because Facebook is becoming that kind of advertising medium that Google is. Obviously a completely different user experience and completely different set of tools for the user. But, you know, again, I remember someone telling me a couple of years ago that, you know, Facebook isn't a social network anymore. And I was like, what are you talking about? I was like, think about how you use it. It's a means of sharing content. It's a publishing medium. I think that's slightly extreme. I think it is a social network that's also a publishing medium. But it didn't used to be. That's happened in the past 2 or 3 years, you know. Yeah.
I do think their success is definitely testament to, and he might not even get the amount of credit he deserves. It is testament to Zuckerberg's leadership. Every time he does something, it raises a lot of eyebrows, like the Instagram purchase. Yeah. And then he just manages to turn it into something profitable. And you look at someone like Twitter and they chop and change the leadership. Mm. You look at Google and the way they've sort of fractured their leadership to good success. But Facebook just seems to go from strength to strength under what is looking like a prodigiously talented leader.
Well, he's either making great decisions or he's allowing other people to make those decisions.
Yeah, and I think the best decision makers always do have people around them that allow them to make the best decisions, as Game of Thrones has taught us.
Oh, God.
It took us
20 minutes to get there. Yeah, no, absolutely. And it is, again, it is probably unprecedented for someone to go from startup in a student dorm room to this size of business as the CEO all the way through.
Yeah, and to maintain the level of control he has, almost dictatorial control over the company, considering they've IPO'd and everything that surrounds that.
Well, they're doing some interesting things there, aren't they? Because they're going to...
They're introducing non-voting shareholders.
Yeah, so I wasn't going to get into this because I don't understand it. But...
Well, it's basically, they want to be able to create more liquidity and allow people to invest in Facebook.
But I think also he wants to give away shares without losing control of the company. Exactly. So he doesn't want to own the money.
He wants to give away 99% of his wealth and still be a very rich man, but which I think is indisputably to his credit, but he doesn't want to, in doing so, lose control of the company.
Yeah, so his priority is control, which is interesting.
Yeah, but he doesn't seem to have an emotional attachment to the product.
He doesn't seem to have an emotional attachment to much.
I mean, normally when you have a company like this, then you have the visionary founder. Yeah. This is exactly what you were talking about, really. And then when they decide to, right, we've got the market share, we've got the cool factor, now we're going to make some money, then they bring in the grizzled old head.
Yeah.
But he is the grizzled old head. He's quite happily said, right, I'll just change Facebook and turn it into this money-making behemoth. Which I, as I said, I no longer enjoy using because it's all just businesses pushing content at you now. But
cool factor is an interesting phrase because it definitely has lost its cool factor, but it doesn't seem to be affecting them.
It's got ubiquity. That's the thing. Yes. It's not Facebook isn't cool.
It's almost gone beyond that, actually.
But it's kind of part of your life, whether you know, to the point that when people start saying actively, oh, I don't use Facebook, then you kind of know it's there because people are making a decision. Well, it's like the iPhone, actually, you know. 4 or 5 years ago, you know, the initial cool set started using like the Galaxy S3, but it was kind of a statement to do so because the iPhone was so dominant in the high-end smartphone market. Yeah.
And David, television's obviously an interesting comparison because that was the dominant advertising platform for years, and now Facebook seems to be on its way to being the new dominant advertising platform.
Well, I think Google would have something to say about that, but it's a challenger, certainly.
But the way mobile web usage is starting to overtake desktop, you can start seeing Facebook being the dominant force there.
I feel the same as David, really. Like, they're clearly making good business decisions and evolving Facebook to make money, but the result, for me personally, is a much worse experience than it used to be.
Yeah, no
doubt. I've been using Facebook since it was available only to certain universities, so the change has been quite dramatic since then. And these days, I kind of, most of the time I go on, it annoys me to a fairly large extent because it's just
auto playing videos.
It's just the videos compared to like the posts that used to come up were like, oh, somebody's done something interesting and I want to interact with that. Now it's like some page has a video, and then there's another video, and then there's an ad, then there's another video, and I don't really want to watch all these videos. I'm actually trying to find out what my friends and family are up to.
Yeah, I want to know which of my 18 friends are running the marathon.
Yeah, but listen, listener. Don't forget to like the UK Tech Weekly podcast Facebook page.
Of course. And we'll push content at you relentlessly.
I don't think we have one, actually, do we? Anyway. So that's how we feel about things. What do we think is going to happen with Facebook? Success going to continue, do you think?
Probably, because even though it annoys me, I can't imagine not having it because I rely on it so much to keep in contact with so many people and things that are going on that I just kind of
just do it.
Grip my teeth and
I deleted it from my phone, and now I almost never use it. I occasionally go to the URL facebook.com, which feels really old fashioned, but.
No, it's extremely ingrained in a lot of people's lives. And you look at that sort of monthly active user figure, and regardless of how many people might be wanting to turn away from it, it is completely embedded in a lot of people's lives. My mother, for example, can not stand to miss a single post on her Facebook feed. So she is like the prime consumer of Facebook. And there are a lot of people out there that use it for that, to keep up with everything. So,
well, I mean, it's all about people's mums today. Interesting. Mm. There are people, for instance, that I went to university with, whenever that was, 20 years ago. And in the past, I would have like their numbers in my phone. And now what I've got is, or their email address. And now actually, I might message them on Facebook on their birthday or something like that. And that's kind of, it's like the address book. That doesn't necessarily last forever, but I think the thing that's interesting to me is, as discussed, Facebook's managed to transform its business several times in the past few years. So why wouldn't it continue to do so, really? Interesting. Okay, let's go around the room. Like, love, wow, haha, sad or angry? Chris Martin.
Angry.
Ooh,
wow.
David Bush, wow. Scott Carey.
Like.
I think I'm a like too. Yeah. Not what I love. Okay, good. We'll take a brief break, and then when we come back, we're going to be playing games. Chris Martin. For you, I was a flame. Love is a losing game. Five-story fire as you came. Love is a losing game.
Well done.
But who has been playing a winning game in the games console world?
Good question. Well, so the news I have for you this week is that Nintendo has announced a release date for its upcoming console, which is at the moment just called the Nintendo NX, which is the code name.
Right.
And it was supposed to come out this year, I think, or rumours suggested it would come out this year. Nintendo said they would definitely give us some information this year, and they have done. And it's coming out March 2017.
Okay. What kind of console we're talking about here? Is this like the Wii replacement, or?
It's a little bit unclear at the moment. Right. There's lots of kind of, here's a kind of almost like a hand drawing of what the controller might look like.
Okay.
And most of it's been about the controller.
Right.
So I think the console itself would be, more powerful, have better hardware and stuff. But it's really what they do with the controller, which is quite interesting. The rumours at the moment suggest kind of there's like this oval-shaped one that might have like a screen going all the way across it.
Right.
Stuff happens. It'll probably be touchscreen because the Wii U gamepad at the moment has a touchscreen, but it would probably be a more sophisticated one like you'd find on your tablet or your smartphone.
But it's interesting from a positioning point of view, because the Wii was a great success because it was the first console that kind of took gaming away from being a gamer. It was like a social device. And so it didn't matter that it wasn't the most powerful. It was aimed at getting people to sort of socially play games together.
Yeah.
But then it's quite tricky to sort of update that in a weird way without getting into competition with the high-end devices. Or am I getting that wrong?
Well, nobody's going to care about the specs of the next Wii.
That's what I mean.
Exactly,
yeah.
Not as much.
Wasn't what it was sold on.
I think Nintendo's done a good job recently, like the past couple of consoles, of getting a nice balance between a fun family device that everyone can just pick up and use without really knowing what they're doing, but also having some decent games for the hardcore gamers that want to play the single player game and get really into it.
Well, has the Wii U done well then? Has it sold?
Because I've got not massively. So I mean, obviously, with the other financial results, Nintendo has announced its financial results. Then I don't have any numbers in front of me, but it's not particularly good. But their new mobile app, so their first mobile app, Miitomo, has had 10 million users already, and it only came out a few weeks ago. So that's looking quite good. And there's going to be another two this autumn, which are based on Animal Crossing and Fire Emblem, which are much more popular franchises than...
We're all looking blank.
Miitomo.
Fire Emblem. No. So that's what I was thinking, is that they are making great strides in mobile and maybe even handheld gaming, which is where Nintendo have been really successful over the years. So why are they putting their money into building a console and that might go against PlayStation and Xbox, which are going to dominate the market regardless?
Good question.
Yeah.
I mean the Wii has always been like fighting against the PlayStation and the Xbox, but
I thought they did a brilliant job with the Wii actually, because it was roundly mocked when it was launched, but again it was a different category of device, whereas PlayStation and Xbox One are aimed at being, or they're hoping to move those devices to be almost like your set-top box, your entire home entertainment system. Wii was unashamedly a lower spec, more fun thing.
Yeah.
And like a lot of households, we've got a Wii in our house that probably comes out two or three times a year when my nephews and nieces are staying, and it's a fun, and they ask for it because it's a fun thing to do. Yeah.
Xbox and PlayStation are more competing with PC almost, because they're trying to be like, this is the best graphics, this is the best performance you can get.
Trying to nudge their way into the set-top box market, which is tough.
Yeah, I mean, you can get apps on the Wii, but they never kind of advertised it as being amazing for that kind of thing. So you can get Amazon and YouTube
my Wii for Amazon Instant Video.
Exactly. It does work, but it's not very... The performance isn't very good.
It's not great.
But the Wii U hasn't been the best success. Their forecast has kind of just dropped and dropped and dropped for it. So I guess there's still a market for people wanting to buy Nintendo consoles. You know, they have a large fan base basically worldwide, including myself. So I'll probably buy the new one when it comes out, almost regardless of what they do with it, because.
Well, they have a huge stockpile of goodwill towards their intellectual properties. That is going to last. Mario, Zelda, Pokemon. You know, these are all just beloved.
The disappointment is that the big game that everyone's been waiting for on the Wii U is the new Zelda game.
Mm-hmm.
But that has been delayed already, and now it's been delayed further, and will now launch on the NX and the Wii U simultaneously. So it's not a dedicated Wii U game.
So I'm slightly confused about the positioning of the NX. Is it just an upgrade on the Wii, or is it more?
Well, we don't know, because they haven't announced it properly. It will be announced fully this year, ahead of its launch next year. But so far, it's all just some guy with a development kit's posted some details on Reddit and this, that, and the other. So who knows what's right and wrong, like a lot of leaks. I imagine a lot of it will be right, but...
Surely it will have some sort of gimmick. I mean, that's the path they followed, is that the Wii had motion control.
Yeah.
And then everybody copied them. So then for the Wii U, they were like, oh, right. Then they had to come up with a separate controller with a screen. And people didn't like that gimmick. It wasn't good enough. But
I think it's almost like the word gimmick's kind of wrong. I know what you mean.
It's unfair.
Because I think the point with the Wii was that the motion sensor stick still works brilliantly. It's look at the graphics. Look at the little stick men that you become. It's fine. You don't. It's like the idea that an animation needs to look real. It doesn't. It's just something different, and it works perfectly well. What's everyone's favourite Pokemon?
Shall I do my same joke?
Yeah.
Huawei.
I can't believe that's come out again.
You've got a favourite Pokemon, haven't you, Chris?
I've got a few.
Yeah.
Scott? Blastoise.
You're such geeks, all of you. How do you get Pikachu on a bus? Pokemon.
Brilliant. Like, we all pretended we didn't know the Pokemon.
Yeah, we all.
Okay. Did everybody know, by the way, I found this out this morning, that Nintendo owns the Seattle Mariners baseball team?
I didn't. What? Do they do any like gimmicky like sponsorship stuff?
Well, I think they're trying to sell it. But who knew that?
Nintendo, I didn't know that at all.
Owns a baseball franchise. Fact.
Wow.
Good. Okay. So let's go around the room. Taking into consideration the NX coming out next year, whose colours whose mast are we sticking our colours to? To whose mast are we sticking our... Right, which do you prefer? Xbox, PlayStation, Wii or other? Chris, we know the answer.
Yeah, Nintendo, through and through.
I've stopped using consoles. I game on the iPad.
If you had to choose?
Oh, Nintendo, definitely. Mm.
PlayStation through and through. I've always had a PlayStation, and as you said earlier, set-top box. My PlayStation is my set-top box. I watch Sky through it. I watch Netflix, Amazon, Blu-ray. And play games. So it's my entire entertainment package.
My PlayStation is my Blu-ray player, but I can't remember the last time I watched a Blu-ray. Good. Okay. Well, thanks very much, guys, and thanks for listening to this edition of the UK Tech Weekly podcast, listener. you're great. If you stayed this long, you're even better. Get in touch, let us know your thoughts and opinions, and to shake us down for cash. You can tweet us at UK Tech Podcast or email editor@idg.co.uk. We will be back next week with yet more informed opinion on the hottest topics in tech, courtesy of our sponsor, Audio Technica. So, in the meantime, find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and all the other places from which you source podcasts. Podcasts. Go on Facebook, like our page, and we'll spam you with some videos. Don't forget to subscribe, report us, and tell your friends. Go on, tell your friends. So until then, crack podcasting team, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye. UK Tech Weekly Podcast.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.